Yes, I mentioned in my introduction about Saint Pius the Fifth. He's the Pope. He's a great saint, and he's a great Pope at that time in 1500, actually 15th century. Saint Pius, he was from a poor but noble family in northern Italy, and baptized Antonio Ghislieri. And he entered the Dominican order as a teenager and quickly rose to a position of authority and responsibility due to his intelligent discipline, unsustainable purity of life, and defense of the church. Yes, he was elected Pope in 1566. At that time, just Council of Trent is concluded. Excuse me. Council of Trent just over the Counter-Reformation was so new, it did not even have a name. At this time, the Muslim, the Turks, were invading Europe from the east, and Protestants occupied chunks of northern Europe and were cracking the unity of the church in France. And there's lots of challenges he had at this time. And also he has to protect the church. And also this time is very hard for him. And all those challenges and more, leaving an enduring legacy disproportionate to his brief reign. The pious marshaled the coalition of Catholic princes and monarchs who defeated the Turks at the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. A loss would have opened the front door of Europe for Muslims to walk right in and make it their home. In 1570, Pius the Fifth excommunicated Queen Elizabeth the First of England for heresy and schism, called her a pretender to the throne, and forbade Catholics to obey her. So this led the Queen to seek the blood of English Catholics for treason. As momentous as these events were, and they each cast long and dark historical shadows, it was specifically as a churchman that Saint Pius the Fifth did his best work. He personally lived the reforms he expected of the church as a whole, and he implemented those reforms first in the city of Rome itself, among his own ecclesial court, and among his own people. The Council of Trent met intermittently between 1545 to 1563. It was arguably the most successful council in the history of the church. Trent introduced numerous reforms that have long since been accepted as normative church practice. A bishop must live in his diocese. Priestly formation must occur in a seminary. Actually, the seminary started at his time, and the priest should be trained for 6 years. He brought all those philosophy and theology studies should be studied for the priest. and that the Mass must be said using a uniform language and ritual. A catechism must be published and its teaching learned by all. And religious and priest cannot easily skip from one diocese to another. And also the medieval canon. Before 1970, we used the canon. That's the medieval canon. He did that. And also his time, he made October the month of Rosary because of his victory. And the council also clarified technical and not so technical question of Catholic theology in the face of Protestant challenges. The council documents were not put on a shelf to gather dust. Trent's immense treasure house of doctrinal, liturgical, and disciplinary reforms were implemented fully and forcefully over many succeeding decades. This was due to the perseverance and vision of many counter-reformation bishops, priests, nuns, and scholars, beginning with Saint Pius V himself. And one of his vision or the story is that the miracle he had, that he in his cross in his room, he normally kissed the cross, the venerate the cross, and then once when he went to kiss the cross, and the cross is moved, and he tried again and again a couple of times, that he felt that the cross is moved, the legs, feet of the cross. Anyway, and then he realized that so what happened, because of his changes, and he's a big reformator, and then the people, during the Battle of Lepanto, they don't like him very much. They were trying to kill him. Actually, they put the poison on the foot of the cross, so that when he kissed the cross, he could be died. But it wasn't happened. So then that's kind of miracle. So yes, this Pius V, he is a great saint and great reformer and defender for the church at that time in 1560 and 70. And in the end, he died and he was buried in the Sistine Chapel, but not that Sistine Chapel. His body lies in a glass coffin in the stunning Baroque Sistine Chapel of the Basilica of Saint Mary Major in Rome. Saint Pius V, pray for us.